We exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another.
Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Talk about this whole subject of making a difference. That's the name of my sermon today, Make a Difference. So today I'm kind of taking a break from, or kind of putting on pause, the relationship series that we've been walking through for the past really 5 to 6 weeks, because I really want to center our hearts to get us in alignment with what God is calling us to do this coming up weekend, and not really just this coming weekend, but also what God calls us to do every day of our lives, which is to make a difference. And so if you're taking notes today, that's the name of this sermon. Make a difference. Tell the person beside you, make a difference. Make a difference. So to kick off this message, one of the things that we believe in our church, better yet, there's four things that we commit as a church to doing for you and doing for people who don't know Jesus or people who do know Jesus. And that is, we actually got a sign out there in the hallway. When you walk out of here, you'll see it on the right. It's a big pop-up fabric sign. It says, we're committed to helping people do four things. And the number one thing that we're helping people do is to follow Jesus. We believe that every person needs to be in a relationship with God through faith in Jesus. That just simply means to follow Jesus, to give Jesus their life. That's what God has called us as a church to help people do, to make disciples. But then also we're called to help people connect with community. In other words, to build bridges with relationships, for people to be able to have life-giving relationships in their life. But then we're also called to help people to begin to discover their purpose. We believe that every person is called by God and has a purpose of that God has given them. And then the last thing that we're committed to helping people do, which is what I'm going to talk about today, is we're called to help you serve others. That's what our discipleship process looks like in our church, to help people follow Jesus, connect with community, discover purpose, and to serve others. Discipleship just simply means to develop somebody, to help somebody grow in a relationship with God through faith in Christ. And so it's the fourth core commitment that I want to highlight today. Serve others by making a difference. And the reason why this is important is because in our church, one of the things that we built this church upon is that we will be a church that makes a difference. That I believe that if our church does not make an impact in this community, or better yet, let me say it like this, if we were to close our church and our community would not notice, then that means we did not make an impact. But I firmly believe that the church has been placed in the community to make an impact in this community. Jesus says in Matthew 5, let your light shine so that people will see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. God has called us as a church to make a difference, to serve others. That's how we make a difference, by serving others. So in other words, it's good and it's cool for us to come in here on Sundays and to worship God. Man, Sunday's my favorite day of the week. But how many of us know that Monday through Saturday, man, like that's when we get to work? I look at Sundays as like the huddle. Like this is the time where we come together and we worship God and we hear the gospel and we're hearing songs sung, and the kids are in the back and they're getting their own kids' experience hearing about Jesus and what he's done for them. But when we leave out of here on Sunday, we leave out of here compelled by the Spirit of God to go make a difference in our community. So our neighborhood should be better because we live there, right? Our jobs should be better because we work these jobs. The places that we work out should be better because of us being there. And Serve Day, this Saturday, it captures the essence of what it means to make a difference in our communities. It's all about us using our abilities, using our time, using our resources to serve others. That's what it's about. And I've said from the beginning of our church, man, that if you're looking for a church that you can just come to and just kind of not be involved and not be active, this is not the church for you, because this is a church that you're going to hear me talk a whole lot about. Man, you need to get in the game and you need to start leading people to Christ and you need to be active in sharing your faith with people. If the only people who know that you're a believer in Christ are people here on Sundays, you are missing the mark. You are not doing what God has called you to be and do. You're not fulfilling the calling that he's placed over your life. No, God has called us to be salt and light. He's called us to be light and darkness, right? And light does not have its greatest impact when it's a room full of light. Light makes the greatest impact where there's darkness. And God calls us to be light in Hampton Roads. He calls us to make a difference in Hampton Roads. One of the things that I want all of Hampton Roads to know the Bridge Church for, out of the many things, is I want them to know that we are a generous church. I want them to know that we share our resources, that we give financially, that we give of our time, that we give of our resources. Here's the reason why. Christians, followers of Christ, should be the most generous people on earth. Why? Because we have received the greatest gift on earth. That being a relationship with God through faith in Christ. There should not be a such thing as a selfish Christian. It's an oxymoron, right? So I firmly believe I shouldn't have to like twist your arm for you to give or twist your arm for you to use the gifts that God has given to serve others, man, because when you begin to think about what God has done for you, you should want to go share it with everybody. You should want to go make a difference in the lives of other people, man. It shouldn't be something that you know, we have to kind of pump everybody up to do. No, it should really be something that we are compelled to do, because as believers, we are called to make a difference. Here's what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith." What does Paul mean when he says by grace? In other words, you didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve to be in a relationship with God. You did not deserve to be loved by God. You and I did not deserve to be forgiven by God. God's grace is his unmerited favor. That's what grace means. You got something that you did not work for or did not earn. God simply gave it to you because he is good and because he is loving. And Paul says it's by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Then notice what Paul says in the next verse, "For we are God's handiwork." Some of your translation says workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Check out what it says next, "to do good works." That's why God created you, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let me say it like this: you are saved for good works, not by good works. What do I mean by that? Your relationship with God is not predicated based upon what you have done. You don't get forgiven by God because of what you do. You are forgiven by God because of what God has done for us, and all we do is receive it by faith. And thank God that it's just because of that alone. Because if it was based upon what you and I do, none of us would ever be in a relationship with God. Thank God that God says, "Hey, I'm not going to love you based upon what you do. I'm loving you based upon what I've done for you. All you got to do is receive it by faith." I thought somebody would say amen right there. Because, like, I don't know if we knew this or not, but you didn't deserve God's forgiveness. Some of us are like, "Oh, but I'm not that bad." No, you really are. "No, I didn't lie that much," but you lied. Right? Like, all of us have blown it. All of us have messed up. And the only reason we're a part of the family of God, if you're a follower of Christ, is not because of what you have done. It's because of what Jesus has done, y'all. The only thing that you played a role with this salvation thing is faith. All you did was believe. And I don't know about you, man. That's good news. Thank the Lord that all I had to do was believe. But Paul doesn't stop there. And I like the fact that he doesn't stop there, because oftentimes what happens is, like, we like to stop at what God has done for us. Like, "Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. I got a get out of hell free card by the blood of Christ." And we just stop there. And Jesus is like, no. "I didn't just save you just so you can go to heaven. I saved you so that way you can make a difference here on earth. I saved you so that way heaven can come down to earth. I saved you so that way it can be done on earth as it is in heaven," which is why Paul says, "You have been created to do good works." You're called to make a difference. You were created by God so that way you could know God, and so that through you others may know God. Here's the question I want us to ask ourselves today. How many people know more about God because of my life? Right? Like, how many people have come into a relationship with God through faith in Christ because of my obedience into their life? Here's what 1 Peter 4 says. "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Use your gifts to serve others. Here's what Peter's saying. Make a difference. Make a difference. I want you to think about the people that have made a difference in your life. Think about the sacrifices that they made. Think about the time that they invested. Think about the resources that they've invested. I don't know if you guys follow sports or not, but one of the biggest stories that's in sports right now is this story about this guy by the name of LaVar Ball and his son, Lonzo Ball, who recently was drafted as the number two pick for the Los Angeles Lakers. And some of you guys who have been following sports, some of you guys who don't know anything about sports, you probably know this guy. He's one of the most loud, obnoxious guys that you ever would meet. Like, he's going on TV and he's like saying, "I could beat Michael Jordan in his prime." Like, dude, you're crazy. Just saying random stuff, man. Right? Like, Lonzo Ball gonna lead the Lakers to 10 million championships. Like, dude, what is wrong with you, man? He's so audacious with his stuff that he developed a shoe for his son to wear and didn't sell it for like the same price as Jordan's. He sold it for $500. Like, dude, are you smoking something? What is wrong with you? No. The thing that you got to see that he's doing here is he's trying to set his son up for success. So he's like, "I'll be boisterous and crazy, because I know that the more y'all talk about me, the more attention comes to my son. The more I can begin to lay a foundation." That's why he's doing it. It has really nothing even to do with LaVar Ball. It has everything to do with what he's trying to do for his son. He's trying to make a difference in his son's life. Many of us in here, you are, all of us in here, we are the product of somebody making a difference in our lives. Think about where you are right now. You did not get here to where you are right now because of something that you did. It was because of something that God was doing in your life through somebody else. No matter what your age is, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are. And a lot of times it's easy for us to think like, "Oh, I just kind of pulled myself up by my own bootstraps." No, you did not. Somebody made a difference. Somebody called you on the day that you thought about taking your life. Somebody gave you a financial blessing at a time where you did not know how bills were going to get paid. Somebody made a difference in your life. Matter of fact, you should go ahead and put your hands together and say amen for the people who made a difference in your life, man. People have made a difference in your life, and that's what God calls us to do as well. We're called to make a difference through serving others. We're not called to just be people, as I like to call, the frozen chosen people who just come in Sundays and sit on a chair and that's it. No. We're called to make a difference. We're not called just to serve on Sundays. Man, we're called to make a difference Monday through Saturday, Monday through Sunday. Every day we're looking for opportunities in which we can make a difference. Here's a few things that I want to share as it relates to essentials to making a difference. Number one, why we make a difference. Why do we make a difference? Why do we do it as believers? It's really simple. We make a difference by serving others because that's what Jesus did for us. I don't know if you were looking for like a really deep theological thesis type of statement. No. The reason why we make a difference in the lives of other people is because Jesus, if you're a follower of Christ, has made a difference in your life. So it's essentially like us paying it forward. The reason why we share love and show love to people is because this is what Jesus did for us. One of the things that Jesus did right before he was crucified and right before he went to the cross is he gathered with his disciples one last time. And as they were engaging in what is known as communion or the Last Supper, one of the things that he also did was he actually washed their feet. He did something that was totally unimaginable. I want to read it. John 13 says this. Verse 2, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. And then after that, it says next that, just lost my spot. I don't know. My iPad just shut down. But I'm going to read it right here. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Verse 4 says this. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. Now what's happening here is unimaginable, because what Jesus is doing right now is he's taking the form of a servant. Totally unimaginable. Rabbis did not do this in the first century context. This was the position of a servant or a slave in the household. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Hold on, Jesus. Jesus, you're the Son of God. Jesus, you're God incarnate. Jesus, you created the heavens and the earth. Jesus, you did something that was totally unimaginable by what you did on the cross. And yet, here you are, taking the form of a servant. Then in verse 12, notice what it says. When he finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked the disciples. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. You know what Jesus is saying? I've washed your feet. I want you to wash your neighbor's feet. Right? Some of y'all don't like that. You don't like that idea, huh? Jesus is telling you, go wash your feet. He wants you to wash the feet of the person that you live next to. Some of y'all are like, no, that's not what he meant. That's not what he meant. But the principle is this, that we are called to serve others the way Jesus has served us. That we are to humble ourselves and take the role of a servant. Why? Because our master did that for us. How did he do that for us? He sacrificed his life on the cross. He gave of everything, even though we did not deserve it. He didn't die for his sins because he didn't have sin. He died for ours. He set the course for how you and I should live our lives, that you and I are called to live our lives as servants, making an example. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 20, 26 through 28. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The reason why Jesus came, y'all, was to serve us. That's why he came. He came to serve. He came to make a difference. That's why he came. Now, I know for some of us in here, like, you're like, man, Pastor Edwin, I've heard this message before. Like, this message, it's not that sexy. It's not that attractive. It's not something that, you know, is extremely popular. No, no, no. You got to understand something, man. This is the Christian walk. That what characterizes as a follower of Christ is not just somebody who says, I love God, but as somebody who shows the love of God. I've been in ministry for a lot of years. I've been in church practically all my life. And one of the things that I've seen happen constantly is people focus so much on what God has done for them that it stops there. That's an incomplete and immature faith. A mature faith says, I've received the grace of God. Now I want to demonstrate the grace of God. I want to show and share the grace of God. I want to serve others. I want to make a difference. I'll say it like this, that making a difference, it's about grabbing a towel, not a title. Notice what Jesus did when he washed the disciples' feet. He grabbed a towel, y'all. It wasn't about a title. Jesus had the greatest title in the room. What does he do? He humbles himself. He grabs a towel. You and I are not to live our lives seeking after titles. In other words, I say it like this. If you need a title to serve people, then you're functioning from an entitlement perspective. I don't need a title to serve people. I've received everything that I need to serve people. What is it that I've received? I've received the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus. That's all I need to serve people. That's the only motivation that I have to serve people. The sacrificial work of Jesus is the only motivation that you and I need to make a difference in the lives of other people. There's been countless times throughout the years where we've engaged on Serve Day. This will be our third year doing it officially. And every year we always get the same question. Man, why are y'all doing this? Why are you guys washing cars? Or why are you guys taking care of lawn care here? And why are you serving at the nursing home? And why are you passing out water? Why are you passing out? Why are you going to the police station and serving those at the police and the fire station? Why are you guys doing this? It's simple. Because that's what Jesus did for us. That's what Jesus did for us. That's why we do it. I mean, we can dress it up and say, oh, we do it because, you know, we want to make a difference in our community. We want to serve our community. That's true. But that's not the core motivation behind why we do it. The motivation behind why we do what we do is because Jesus did something for us that we did not deserve. That is the gospel, y'all. That's what I'm trying to put in our hearts this morning. Because when the gospel takes root in your heart, you don't need people to tell you to go serve. You want to do it. You want to go share with people. You want to go volunteer your time with people. You want to go pray for people. You want to go love on people. Is this making sense? That's what we're called to do. That's what it's about. It's not about what kind of notoriety you get. It's really not even about the Bridge Church. It's not about that at all. It's about people coming to know Jesus. It's because of what Jesus has done for us. And because Jesus is our example of serving, Jesus should also be our example when it comes to serving and how we should do it, which should be with joy. Jesus did this because he wanted to do this for us. Hebrews 12:2 talks about, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus was going to the cross, and he did it with a humble perspective. He did it with a joyous attitude. It didn't feel good, but he counted it joy because his sacrifice meant that you and I would be with him for all of eternity. He brought heaven to earth, y'all. It's a joy. In other words, here's what he's telling us, that you and I, when we make a difference, when we serve people, we should do so with joy, not with a complaining spirit, not with a begrudging type of attitude. Here's what Philippians 2 says, do everything without complaining and arguing. Some of us need to tattoo that scripture on not our Facebook wall, not even on our wallpaper on our phone. Some of us just need to tattoo that on our eyelids. Do everything without complaining or arguing, because let's be honest, how easy is it for us to complain? Right? Not even just about bad things. We can be complaining even while we're doing good things. Right? How many of you guys have ever done that? I've done it plenty of times. Y'all want to be honest today? Let's be honest. Let's be real. We've complained plenty of times when we're doing good things. But the Bible calls us, man, don't complain about it. Like serving and making a difference is an act of generosity. Paul talks about God loves a cheerful giver, not just with our finances, but with our time. Like, who wants to receive a gift from somebody who just complains about giving it to them the entire time? Like, y'all, have y'all ever had that happen? Like, I'm doing this for you. I hope you know I'm doing this for you. I don't really want to do this. Well, don't do it then. I don't want your gift no way. Right? Like, that's complaining. God says, do it without complaining or arguing. Without complaining or arguing. In other words, man, we're not going to complain about something that we get to do. It's a privilege for us to be able to serve. A privilege. And anytime I oftentimes feel myself drifting to start complaining about doing something that God's called me to do, which really is a joy, not a burden, God always convicts me of it. So that's why now, like, even when it comes to preaching, man, like, if I ever feel like, man, I really don't feel like it, I immediately check myself and say, this is not something that I have to do. This is something that I get to do. When it comes to pastoring, it's the same thing. When it comes to parenting, it's the same thing. When it comes to being a spouse, it's the same thing. This isn't something that I have to do. This is something that I get to do. Is this making sense? This is something that you get to do. Maybe for some of us, you need to recalibrate the way you think about things, right? Maybe you need to stop complaining about your job and realize, man, that this is a blessing from above. It may not be what you want, but thank God that it's better than nothing. So God, I'm not going to complain about what you've called me to do. I'm not going to complain about it. No, I'm going to give you thanks for it. Why do we serve? Why do we make a difference? Because Jesus made a difference in our lives. That's why we do it. We need no other reason. No other reason. And if this message is boring to you, I'm afraid that you probably missed the essence of what God has done for you. I've talked to people through the years, right, and they're saying, man, like, it's all right for you to continue to talk about what Jesus has done and this, that, and the third, but you got to move past that. No, that's the gospel. Like, that's everything that Paul talked about in all 13 letters. That's it. That's the entire narrative of the Bible. The entire Bible is one big finger pointing to Jesus. That's what it's all about. This reason is the reason why we do what we do. I could stop the message right there, man. That's why we do it. That's why I sacrifice, because Jesus sacrificed for me. That's why I love you, because Jesus loved me. That's why I extend grace and extend forgiveness to people, because this is what Jesus did for me. So this is why the scriptures will say things like this: forgive others as Christ has also forgiven you. Love others as Christ has loved you. You notice that it's not predicated based upon how good they are to you. It's based upon how good God has been to you. That's what it's about. Some of us are getting messed up right now because it's like, man, I don't really want to love that person. It don't matter. But they don't deserve my love, and you didn't deserve God's love. But yet he extended it. God calls us to do the same with people. That's the why we make a difference. But now I want to talk about when we make a difference. When do we make a difference? We're to make a difference in people's lives at every opportunity we get. Here's what Galatians 6 says. Therefore, as we have an opportunity. Everybody say opportunity. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say opportunity. As we have opportunity, man, we serve others. We do good to others. Notice what Paul continues to say, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. How often do we make a difference in the lives of people? All the time. All the time. It's not like a one-day thing, one-day a week thing. It's not like, oh, check that off the list. I made a difference today. Now I just go live life for myself the rest of the week. No. Every day, We do this. Every day we make a difference. Every day we're impacting people. Every day we're reaching people. Every day we're praying for people. Here's what the Bible says in Luke chapter 10. There's a story that Jesus told in response to a guy who was asking him, what are the most important commandments? And Jesus boiled them down to loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, loving your neighbor as yourself. And then he actually proceeds to tell a story to capture this. Notice what he says in Luke 10. Jesus says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. That was a very long trip. It wasn't just like down the street and around the corner. No. It was miles. Actually, probably about 17 miles. It says, then he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him. They went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Hold on. Do y'all see what's happening here? This dude was in need. He's beat down, left for dead. And a religious guy passes him by. Somebody who's supposed to know about God passes by, sees him in need, and does nothing about it. It doesn't stop there. So too, a Levite, which was actually an assistant of the temple priest, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. Somebody just say, that's trifling. Oh, that's trifling. It's trifling. Let's call it what it is. That's trifling. You see a dude beat down. He's bloody. He's left for dead. He's been robbed. And you just walk by him. Oh, that's trifling. That's trifling. Really. And before we kind of look our nose like, they trifling. No, oh, plenty of us have done that plenty of times. Where we've seen people in need and we walk by. But notice this, that a Samaritan as he traveled came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him. He bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey. He brought him to an inn, took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. We are called to serve people at every opportunity we get. Every opportunity. It's not some quota thing. It's not something that we just say, I've done my part, I'm good. No, every day we do this. And here's the thing, there are opportunities all around us every day in our community, on our job, of people who are in need, y'all. And the question that we got to ask ourselves is, are we doing anything to help these people? Are we doing anything to serve people? Are we doing anything to make a difference? I said it earlier in the message, man, if our community is not impacted because of our church, then we have failed as a church. Matter of fact, we might as well just pack up bags and leave. No, our church should become better. Our community should become better because the Bridge Church is in this community. Hampton Road should be better because the Bridge Church is here. That we ain't just people who come together and sing good songs on Sunday and have a good worship experience and things like that. No. We are a church that is active in our community, boots on the ground, sharing Christ with people, making a difference, meeting needs. That's who we are. That's what we do. That's what God has called us to be salt and light. People who don't just talk a good game, but people who actually do something. We make a difference, not just on one day like Serve Day. Serve Day is a great place to start. So if you've never made a difference in somebody's life or you've been trying to figure out how you can start this process, man, Serve Day is the way to do it. But it don't stop on Serve Day, y'all. It's every day. I'll say it like this. Making a difference is to be a way of life, not an event on a calendar. It's supposed to be a way of life, not an event on a calendar. So when people come in contact with you and I, man, they should automatically begin to feel their spirits revived. Why? Because you had the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of you if you're a follower of Christ. And immediately, they should begin to feel hope. They should immediately begin to feel encouraged. How many of you guys have ever been around somebody, man, and they always just give off a vibe where your spirit feels lifted when you're around them? How many of you guys have ever been around somebody like that? That is who God calls us to be. That when somebody's life is falling apart and God sends you to that person's life, immediately they begin to feel hope. Why? Not because you're hope, but because you're pointing to the one who is hope, and his name is Jesus. They should feel that, y'all. They should begin to feel the impact that you make in their lives. Man, God has called us to make a difference in the lives of other people. That's what he wants us to do. Not just to be people who come and just sing songs. Not just to be people who kind of stay to ourselves throughout the course of the week and just go to our jobs and come home and raise kids. No, that's part of it. That's not all of it. God says, listen, I want you to make a difference in your community. I want you to start mentoring some people. I want you to start to sit on some boards. I want you to start enacting change in your community. I want you to start volunteering at the homeless shelter. I want you to begin to serve people in your family. I want you to begin to serve in a nursing home. I want you to make a difference in the lives of other people. So that way, when they ask you the question, why are you doing this? You tell them it's because of what Jesus has done for me, and I want you to experience the same exact thing. Y'all can clap right there. It's okay to clap. It's good. That's what he's calling us to do, to make a difference, to not just sit on the sidelines, but to engage. Every day our aim should be, here's what your prayer should be. God, thank you for what you've done for me in Christ. Show me how I can show that to other people today. God, open up my eyes to the opportunities that you've placed around me to make a difference. And I get it, man. We get so caught up with our own lives. We got to pay this bill, and we got to make sure that ends are meeting, getting met, and we got to make sure that kids are getting raised, and we got to make sure that all of our things are taken care of. But let me caution us, man. Don't live your life so much where you're focused on yourself that you miss what God is calling you to do for other people around you. Because I think in Western culture, American culture, it's all about us when God has called it to be about him and other people. That's why he says, love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. But then lastly, how do we make a difference? That's the question that we always get. So I know why, I know when, every opportunity, but how am I supposed to do this? Where do I start? We make a difference by meeting the spiritual and tangible needs of people. That's how we do it. So in our church, we meet the spiritual needs of people. We meet the tangible needs of people. We don't just say, hey, I'm going to pray for you, and that be it. No. I'm praying for you, and I'm going to use my resources to help meet your need. I'm praying for you, but I'm going to sacrifice. I'm praying for you, but I'm going to invest some time into you. So we focus on meeting the tangible needs of people. Here's what Jesus says. There's a parable that he tells to his disciples, this parable between the goats and the sheep. And he begins to kind of outlaw and begin to define people who are considered to be sheep and of his pasture, which are people who have received his love by faith in what he's done for them on the cross, but also they demonstrate this faith. And the goats, people who claim to be followers of Christ, but you don't see any fruit in their life. Here's what they actually say, what the parable says in Matthew 25. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then notice what Jesus says next. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you do for me, do for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you also did for me. Here's what Jesus is saying, that when you make a difference in the lives of other people, you are in all actuality serving Jesus. You're serving Jesus. So I can't see my brother or my sister in need and just turn a blind eye to them, because really that's me turning a blind eye and a deaf ear to Jesus himself. I can't just skate over the fact that there's needs all around me and do nothing about it. Some of us are saying, man, but I don't have a whole lot of resources. But you got a whole lot of experience that you can share with people. You got a whole lot of wisdom that you can share. You got some time on your hands. And God is calling you to invest that into making other people's lives better so that they know him and can live out God's purpose for their lives. That's what he's called you to do. He's called you to impact. He's called you to make a difference. And my prayer for us as a church is that every day we would live in such of a way where we make a difference. One of the things that happened 2 years ago when we were serving on Serve Day, one of our groups actually went to a laundromat right here in Hampton. And we had just rolls of coins, just quarters out of the wazoo. And we said, hey, we're going to go pay for the next 3 hours for as many people's laundry as possible. And the day was incredible. We saw lives getting changed. We saw people extremely grateful. Matter of fact, the manager couldn't even understand why we were doing it. It was really cool. But the story that stuck with me that day was this. There was a family that came in. It was a mom. She came in. I think she had some kids. And I actually talked to her as the day went on. And we're literally buying her laundry. Like, she had like 4 or 5 loads of laundry. We're paying for them to get washed and dried. And she literally, eyes begin to well up, and she's like, I can't believe that this is actually happening. Like, I'm really grateful that you guys are doing this. And she asked the proverbial question, well, why are you guys doing this? And what was that? My answer? Well, we're doing this because God loves us and he loves you. That's it. We're not looking for any attention. We're not looking for Wavy TV 10 to come. Hey, come see what we're doing. Like, it's not about that. We're doing this to demonstrate the love of Christ. And she shared this. She said, I didn't know how all of our laundry was going to get washed this week. I literally came here today hoping that I would have enough money to be able to get laundry washed for all of my kids and my family. But the mere fact that you guys are here today paying for all of my laundry was an answered prayer. It was God showing me that he hadn't forgot about me. It was God showing me that he loved me. Here's what was crazy about it, y'all. We did this on a Saturday. The next day, she came to church. And I believe the reason why is because her thought process was, if y'all can go out of your way to show me the love of Christ, I want to now hear about it. I don't know where she is right now in life. Have no idea. But what I do know is on that day, she experienced the love of Jesus. That on that day, a prayer that she was probably still praying, driving to the laundromat, coming in with her laundry baskets full of clothes of she and her kids, trying to figure out, how am I going to wash these clothes for my babies this week? That prayer gets answered. And she experiences the love of Christ that day. Do y'all see what I'm saying here? That you become somebody's answered prayer when you minister to their needs. God ain't sending bread from heaven anymore. He already did that. God is sending you. He's sending me to people. People are praying for miracles. You know how he's going to perform it? Through you. People are praying for breakthroughs. You know how God's going to do it? Through his people. People are praying for opening doors. You know how God's going to do it? Through you. The world has this saying, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. There's some truth to that. Because what happens is when people who are in need come in contact with the people who knows the one who meets the needs, they come in relationship with us. Now as a result, they get an encounter with the true and living God, and now they begin to see, God, you really do love me. God, you really do care about me. God, you haven't forgotten about me. God, you are for me. You're not against me. God, when everything was falling apart, you met me right there. And that is what God is calling us to do today. Go make a difference. Go sacrifice. So maybe that means this week you don't go out to eat. Maybe that means that you sacrifice some of that money to go invest into somebody else's life. Maybe you pay for somebody's yard to get cut this week. Maybe you go cut their yard yourself. Maybe you're doing something special for this week. Serve Day Saturday is the day in which we do it as a church. But every day is called to be a serve day for the believers. God calls us to make a difference. And I want to close with this. Because as we're called to meet the tangible needs of people, we're also called to meet the spiritual needs of people. Because the greatest need that people have, y'all, is not tangible. It's spiritual. It's not practical. It's spiritual. I don't have the scripture on the screen, but I'm going to read it. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came to earth, y'all. He did a whole lot in 33 years. He healed people. He restored sight to the blind. People who couldn't walk now can walk. One pastor said that the crippled man could do the crip walk now. A corny pastor joke. He did many great things, y'all. He fed people. He fed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves. He did many things, practical, tangible things. But all those things pale in comparison to the greatest thing that he came to do, which was to meet a spiritual need. And that spiritual need was that people, men and women, needed their sins forgiven, because it's the sin that separates us from God. Jesus came to bridge the gap between us and God the Father. That was the greatest need. People are far from God. They are outside of the family of God. Some of us who are here today, man, you don't know God. You're not a part of the family of God. Just because you come to church does not mean that you are part of the family of God. But Jesus says, but today I'm offering you life. I've come to make a difference in your life. I've come to meet your need. Because even though while God's called us for all of us to serve people, the greatest thing that God wants for us is for us to experience his love in Christ. I'll say it like this, that before you can make a difference in other people's lives, Jesus has to make a difference in yours. He's got to make a difference in your life first. Before you can go and make a difference in somebody else's life, you got to let Jesus do it in yours. You got to let him do it in yours. You got to let him impact your life. You got to let him reach you. You got to let him love on you. And some of us in here, man, you've been to church, man. You've heard sermon after sermon, but you don't know God. And the only way you know God is by placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for you on the cross. That's the only way that you know God. It's not about how many scriptures you know. It's about, do you know Jesus? And I love just the heart of God, because God says, I see your need. And I see you broken. And I see you hurting. And I see you alone. But today I want to let you know that I'm for you. Today I want to let you know that I'm with you. Today I want to let you know that I've proven that, I've demonstrated that by giving you my son, Jesus. I want you to know that today. And the question I want to ask you today is this. Have you let Jesus make a difference in your life? Have you let him speak into your life? Have you let him step into your life? Because that's what he wants. I know what some of us are saying, like, man, you pastor, you don't even know what I've done, man. I've slept with so many people. I've made so many mistakes. I've sinned against God hundreds of times. Here's what I'm going to let you know today, man. Your sin is not greater than God's love for you. God's grace is much greater than your sin. And all he's asking you to do today is to come to him. He will make you into a new creature. He will make you into a new person. And all you got to do is receive it by faith. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, here's the question I want to ask us today. Are you here today and you're saying, I need to become a part of the family of God? I need Jesus, man. I need him in my life. I tried to do this thing on my own and it's not worked. I failed miserably every time. I thought that I would become right with God based upon what I do, when in all actuality, it has nothing to do with that. It's all about what Jesus has done. So if you're here today and you're saying, this is me, pastor, I want to give my life to Christ. I'm tired of living life on my own. I'm tired of doing things on my own. No, today I want to receive the love of Christ. I want to see the unconditional love of Jesus. I want that in my life. I want to become a part of the family of God. If that's you today, I'm going to make it really simple for you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. Nobody's looking. Nobody's watching. It's just you and God. If this is you today and you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ, would you just raise your hand just so I can see you really quick? Just raise your hand if that's you, if that's your heart's desire. You want to give your life to Christ. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Bless God. Amen. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you lifted up your hand, thank you so much. You can put it down. If you're making a decision to give Christ your life today, I just want you to repeat this prayer after me. It's a prayer of commitment. It's a prayer of confession. It's saying, Jesus, I'm giving you my life. Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I want your forgiveness. God, your love is great and I want it. Say this prayer. Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day so that I could have new life and have it more abundantly. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. I receive your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, let's put our hands together for those who gave their life to Christ. Come on, y'all can do better than that. Make some noise. Amen. Amen. So, hey, if you lifted up your hand and you just prayed that prayer, we as a church family want to say welcome to the family of God. You have made the greatest decision that a person could ever make in our life. Scripture says that all of heaven rejoices when one person puts their faith in Christ.